Okay, I'm ready to get started. How about you guys? What? What? What am I supposed to be looking at? Oh, haha, guys. Who reversed the polarity of the neutron flow? David, I'm looking at you. What? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound grouchy, but I'm the one who has to recalibrate the temporal capacitors. It's fine. Can we just be professional, please? Systems are going to have been go in 3, 2, 1. Good evening, primitives, and welcome to From Time to Time, the only podcast from 300 years in your future, until 2057, when there's another one called Time and Again. I really don't recommend that one. Last cycle's broadcast actually contained a very hateful and regressive view of cyber apes. I was personally offended. Now, before we get started, there's something we need to discuss. Shortly after our last broadcast, someone walked into the Ministry of Experimental Sciences office here at Facility 12 and took something that they really, really shouldn't have taken. The individual in question was a human woman with a shaved head wearing a saffron robe. I can't tell you what it was that she took because, believe me, the last thing we need is to cause a panic. It's nothing important, it's not a big deal, but we would greatly prefer that the stolen property not end up in the wrong hands, or claws, or tentacles. Anywho, if we could just get that back as soon as possible, that would be wonderful, because there would be no need to charge anyone with any sort of biological terrorism. Now, once again, this is not a big deal, but District 21 Thought Sanitizers are offering a reward of up to 600 credits for any information that might lead to the stolen property's safe return. No questions asked. Because, of course, why would they need to ask you a question? They would just hook you up to the brain scanner and download all of the knowledge you possess to be cross-referenced with common crime signifiers. I'm sure this is all a silly misunderstanding. I mean, things go missing from ministry offices all the time. If we had a global biohunt every time someone lost a stapler or a hypermatter condenser, we wouldn't have time to get anything done. But enough about work. Well, we're coming up on the end of August, and you know what that means. Everyone is swept up in Harry Potter fever. I can tell you that everyone here at F12 is excited. Even the supercomputers are getting in the spirit. They're offering free lightning bolt-shaped scars to all of our biological staff if we reach 125% of our quota for the cycle. We remain well under our quota, so don't worry, we're safe. Primitives, I should explain. You see, we're reaching the end of a very long franchise of films based on the popular Harry Potter series of children's books. I believe there was a smaller budget film series in your time as well, but it does not compare to these. Ours are much more in-depth and much more in line with the source material. Every August, for the past 197 years, a film based on each chapter of the books has been released. And though the original actors have long ago withered and died, their names forgotten to history, we just can't get enough of that little boy wizard. And we're so close to the end, I can't wait to find out how they wrap it up. Though I must express my genuine irritation as a fan of the series, Warner Disney Fox Columbia Mountain Dew Pictures announced today it would be splitting the 198th and final chapter into a trilogy of films. I mean, does anyone like it when they do this? You know, you pay your 40 credits. You want to see a whole chapter of a book. If you ask me, it's a little bit of a ripoff to only get a third of a chapter, but who am I kidding? I'm going to see them all. I'm so excited. I haven't been this excited for a movie since, probably Amazing Spider-Man issue 110, The Birth of the Gibbon. That was truly thrilling. I suspect we're going to see more of this Gibbon character. Don't get me wrong, I don't watch a lot of these Hollywood blockbusters these days. I tend to gravitate more towards independent film and documentaries. I find the truth is often more powerful than any fiction. You know, I recently watched a very good documentary called The Middle of Nowhere. It followed a family of antimatter goblins from a safe distance, of course, as the community they lived in gradually became gentrified, until finally they couldn't afford to live in the black hole that had been their ancestral home for eons. Contemporary listeners, you should definitely give it a watch. Oh, and I should mention, it is best enjoyed in 5D, if your mind is capable of experiencing it that way. I really took the film as a call to action. I don't want to be preachy, but we really have to do our part to protect the habitats of antimatter goblins. I mean, we don't want them settling in areas with high concentrations of matter, because of course, that could lead to potentially devastating explosions. Black holes might seem like an exotic place to build your home or business, or perhaps a convenient place to dispose of chemical waste or self-replicating nanobots that are consuming matter at a rate so quickly that they cannot be contained. But keep in mind, antimatter goblins have been living in black holes, in many cases, for longer than the Earth has even existed. They have a rich and varied culture, I assume, that we must protect, or we risk that culture disappearing forever, like Finland. Ideally, I would really like to have an antimatter goblin on the program to discuss the issue from their point of view, but in addition to the explosive danger, there's also the practical matter of their voices being impossible to record. Probably, we think. No one knows for sure, but... Well, primitives, they communicate using a series of coded blinking lights across a spectrum that humanity has not yet discovered. The lights are not visible, or indeed detectable, but all beings in the three known universes are able to perceive them by means of some heretofore undiscovered sensual apparatus. I've never observed it myself, but I've been told that it's not unlike a song being hummed around the edges of your very soul. I find that description quite difficult to understand. I'm a man of science, and I simply don't believe that souls can hum. All available data suggests that souls can only weep. And besides, even beings without souls, like gynoids or androids or parasites or lawyers, they can all experience the same sensation, whatever it may be. Now, without an antimatter goblin guest, I'll have to make do with the words of the great antimatter goblin poet, Pulsar the Luminous. Now, this is a rough translation, and it suffers somewhat from being written in words rather than nigh imperceptible blinking lights, but he wrote, "Gravity is 35, and where there is hope, a giant fire burning backwards, and children know the name of God, but their ashen mandibles float inwards, always inwards. Each fire alone in a whirling 77. If I die, so too does the dark, dark heaviness in a vacuum rising." Isn't that lovely? We believe that that is a poem, although it could also be a mathematical equation or a recipe or nonsense. In fact, if you really want to examine the quantum mechanics involved in the translation, it's very possible that Pulsar didn't say any of it. Zai may have even not said anything at all. It's very difficult to say for certain. You see, that's what I love about antimatter goblin literature. Even its very existence is open to interpretation. I mean, it's no Harry Potter, but what is? I think it's important to expose oneself to other cultures whenever it isn't immediately threatening. We should celebrate our differences. Otherwise, what will separate us from the conformulons of Planet Simulus and their systematic forced equalization? I don't mean to sound insensitive. If any conformulons are listening to this... Sorry, I guess that wouldn't make any sense. I should say, if all conformulons are simultaneously listening to this, I don't mean any offense. All I mean to say is that I find your way of life to be existentially horrifying. But moving on, let's have some current events. Once again, these are events that are current for me in the year 2314, but they are the future of current events for those of you living in the relative past. Oh, here's an interesting story. First I've heard of this. The Ministry of Public Health has advised all biological citizens to avoid any place where large groups of biologicals gather until further notice. I don't know what that could be about. The Public Health Czar's office has not released an official statement, but I see no reason to go looking into this matter any further. They advised us not to go to those places, and I'm sure they have a good reason, and I'm sure it's very tedious and not interesting at all. So let's just take that at face value and not ask any probing questions that might indicate any sort of direct culpability. Okay? Okay, some political news. Death ray lobbyists are now insisting that the term death ray is misleading. They believe that this wording is used to give the impression that disruption weaponry is frightening and aggressive. They say that they now prefer the term death beam. Honest to Ron, you give these people a unit and they ask for a killer unit. There was a time when this district's policy towards death rays was sensible, but these kooks have been making any sort of meaningful legislation impossible ever since they built that Class 10 death ray on their giant suborbital satellite. Well, I for one am tired of living under the tyranny of these lunatics. This is a free country, and I should only have to live under the benevolent tyranny of Parliament. If they didn't possess the power to destroy the planet, I'd say to heck with all of them. Why should they get to have a say in the affairs of government? For Ron's sake, they're dragging us back to some sort of primitive democracy. Oh, they really jingle my jangles. I have to tell you, my frustration levels are quickly approaching their legal limit at 67%, so I'm going to have to take a pacifier. Ah, much better. For a moment there, I almost let my emotions get the better of me, but now, under the calming influence of these psychotropic drugs, I feel the need to apologize for my forceful tone. Primitives, take it from me, it's very easy to get worked up when talking about politics, but it's even easier to sedate yourself before your thoughts and feelings become disruptive, or worse, assertive. I'm sure Parliament knows what they're doing, and now that I give it a little bit more thought, perhaps the term death ray is too aggressive. In fact, maybe all words are too aggressive. Maybe we should only communicate using clouds. No, wait, that wouldn't work. Okay, what else? Oh dear! It seems a new study suggests that 5% of the sexually active population of District 21 is infected with the mummy's curse. That's almost hard to believe in this day and age. Honestly, people need to inform themselves about safe sex, especially when it comes to mummies. It's times like these I'm glad that my partner is a gynoid and thus she isn't susceptible to the mummy's curse, and not to get too personal, but she also isn't capable of any sort of sex. I mean, her motherboard supports it, but we'd need to install some sort of genitals, and she says she finds that crude. Wow, I'm sorry, that was a bit of an overshare. I don't know why I told you that. Yeah, but back to the mummy's curse. I don't understand why some people don't use protection. Just wear an ankh made of silver, or mark yourself using the ash of a ritually burned oak tree. It's the responsible thing to do. And everyone, listen, if your partner is a mummy who doesn't want you to wear any sort of sigil to appease Bast or Ra, you have to ask yourself if they really care about you, or if they just want to consume your youth to restore their lost humanity. Keep in mind, the mummy's curse is transmissible even if you are not displaying symptoms, so don't assume you're safe just because your partner isn't branded with the Eye of Horus and they aren't swarmed by locusts. Just have that conversation with your partner. ask them if they've ever been with a mummy, or if they are now a mummy who has successfully managed to regain some semblance of their lost humanity. I'm not saying you have to cut them to see if they bleed regularly or sand pours from their wounds, and frankly, if you don't trust your partner to be honest with you in that conversation, maybe you're not ready to take things to the next level.
Oh, hey, primitives. You might not have even been aware that mummies occasionally reanimate. Well, they do. Sorry to drop that bomb on you, but there are mummies among you, and there always have been. I know that most of you accept the prevailing notion that undead mummies are simply a colorful folkloric legend like Bigfoot or Sasquatch or panda bears. You need to let go of your superstitious disbelief in such obvious scientific phenomenon as the undead or El Chupacabra or dolphins. It's a big world out there. Don't be so close-minded, or you might not be able to react quickly enough to emerging threats. Okay, so that's it for current events, or events that will be current events if the events are current events. What? Wow, these new pacifiers are a bit too strong. I haven't been this calm all cycle. You know, it's been very stressful here lately. Everybody's very worked up about these new security protocols. I'm not even allowed in the labs unsupervised anymore. I think the supercomputers are mad at me. Well, not mad. They don't get mad, but lately, there's been more contempt for me than for the rest of the biological staff. Honestly, the break-in isn't even my fault. They had access to this broadcast that I'm recording right now, and I didn't, so they should have known this was going to happen. I couldn't have. And it hasn't been easy at home, either. Things are very tense between Jacob and me, ever since I almost got that dire warning from my future self. I think she resents me, knowing that I'm doomed to murder her. You know, maybe if I'm being honest, I resent her too, a little, knowing that she's holding some elaborate, sinister secret agenda, which she has refused to share with me. I get the feeling that if it weren't a causality paradox, she'd leave me. Maybe that would be for the best. You know, I think I'm getting depressed. These pacifiers need to be adjusted. Let me just take a look at the label. What is this? Let's see. Repressathol, 130 milliunits. Directions. Take 1 to 2 tablets with sterile water at the onset of unpleasant or illegal emotions. Do not exceed 6 tablets a day unless under the advice of a physician or thought coach. Overconsumption may result in permanent personality augmentation. Side effects may include nausea, blurred vision, nausea, blurred hearing, nausea, repetitive reading, nausea, temporary loss of teeth, and repetitive reading. Consult a pharmacist if you are pregnant, have a humanity index of under 33%, or a family history of time madness. Ah, there we go. That's the problem. Well, normally, I would be quite alarmed at the knowledge that I had taken potentially dangerous medication. But right now, I can't help but question the futility of worrying about whether or not my brain or nervous system has been nausea. In fact, it suddenly occurs to me that everything is pointless, and so I'm going to take a nap. So, we're done for today. That's all for this cycle. As always, you can reach us on pre-holographic Twitter at Time to Time Show. Ask a question, and we'll do our best to answer it without violating causality. Or use the hashtag FTIT Show to find out how you're going to die. Because, of course, everything dies, entropy is unstoppable, and eventually there will be no evidence of anything you or I have ever done. As always, I'd like to thank the supercomputers, and all of you primitives for listening, or, you know, hearing. I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if it's possible for two people to really understand each other. We'll be back in another 2 cycles, or as long as I don't fall victim to any sort of biological weaponry. Which I have no reason to suspect that I might. I want to be clear. So have a good cycle, insofar as it is possible for anyone to have a good cycle. Good day.